Thank you, Jonathan. Well, here we are at Scots today on this two baptism morning as we've been working our way through the key themes in this ancient book of Proverbs over the past few weeks. So what better thing to do today than take some time to look at the ancient wisdom on offer for raising kids, which I want to remind you is something that's been going on in our world for quite some time. I'm reminded of an elderly man of very mature faith who was dying in hospital. He was part of our church in Brisbane, and his family was there, and of course they were distressed. And Daryl said to them, "What are you so worried about? There's been plenty of dying going on in the world before I got here. It's nothing new." Similarly, raising kids, which is something to keep in mind in the more challenging times of parenting, isn't it? It's hardly as if you'll be up against any issues that haven't come up before in the history of the world. It's just that these days with social media and the flood of advice and the judgments, it's coming from everywhere and everyone, to the point where it can be incredibly confusing, and of course everyone these days is an expert. Plus, of course, in cancel culture, we're always walking on landmines, especially when we're dealing with ancient texts like this Old Testament book of Proverbs. And there is a tendency to just throw out anything that doesn't match the prevailing mindset of 2022. Where we've obviously got everything right. Although there are so many competing models to choose from, aren't there? Child-directed or parent-directed? Free-range or structured? Helicopter parent or drop-and-run mum? Maybe Asian tiger mum style? Or just a pussycat? It is exhausting to even try to keep up. And the books. In our era as parents, there were only ever one or two. Today, maybe hundreds. Like the book The Danish Way of Parenting, which basically apparently boils down to tips like spending time together instead of everyone just in different rooms on their own iPad, which to me sounds smart, but is hardly worth a book. Or Larry Winget's book called Your Kids Are Your Own Fault, which is hardly reassuring, but at very least, when you think about it, is at least biologically true, if nothing else. All of which, maybe in your mind, might leave this ancient book called Proverbs gathering dust in a corner with nothing worthwhile to say. But just to challenge your assumptions before we start, a quick quiz, I want to ask. You can just answer in your mind, I guess, when you think these words were spoken. So here's a quote. "I see no hope for the future if we're dependent on the youth of today. They are reckless beyond words. When I was young, we were taught to be discreet and respectful of our elders, but young people these days are disrespectful and unrestrained." Now, option A. Were those words spoken at morning tea after church last Sunday here at Scots? Or option B, by the Greek poet Hesiod in the 8th century BC? Now, I'm not sure if option A was right or not, but the real answer is option B, Hesiod, 8th century BC. Or this one. "Kids today have exalted notions because they haven't been humbled by life or learned their lessons. They overdo everything." Now, is that the Canadian psychologist Jordan Peterson in his book 12 Rules for Life, 2021? Or the Greek philosopher Aristotle, 384 BC? Again, if you guessed option B, correct. Or here is G.K. Chesterton a little more recently. He says, "Here's how history works. While the old man may stand by some stupid custom, The young man always attacks it with some theory that turns out to be equally stupid. All of which goes to show there's nothing really new under the sun, and the problems and challenges of raising a new generation have always been more or less the same. And maybe we need to be humble enough to say that sometimes the old wisdom is every bit as relevant as the new. Now, right from the very start, the whole book of Proverbs opens as a father-to-son chat. And the idea is, parents are meant to pass on their wisdom to the next generation as if it's a matter of life or death. The same idea came up, you might have heard, in the psalm that the choir just sung for us. And that is ultimately what discipline is. It's making disciples, making learners of your children. So listen to these words, a first taste of wisdom from Proverbs. Discipline your son, it says, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to his death. Proverbs 19, verse 18. Which again, in this wider context of a father-son chat, isn't for a minute saying don't bother disciplining your daughters. It's saying make sure you do what you can. Make sure your son or daughter grows up discipled by you as a parent, or you've just abdicated your responsibility. And so when disaster comes, you've been a willing party to it by failing to put in place any guardrails. Again, discipline there. It's a word that might have had some bad connotations for you, but it just means, in this context, make them disciples of wisdom. The other option, of course, being that you might want your kids to have the freedom to determine right and wrong for themselves by trying everything, which may be the flavour of the moment for parenting in 21st century Australia, but may just be opening the way for a bunch of dumb ways to die, as the railroad ad used to sing. One of those theories that Chesterton says in The Next Generation, they'll just laugh at. Discipline, says the proverb, may well save your kid's life. Don't run on the road. Don't poke things in a PowerPoint. Don't get in a car with a stranger. Ultimately, you see, good for preserving the life of the child. Although, of course, there is payoff for the parents as well, in that they're less likely to drive you crazy, as it says in this proverb. Discipline your children, and they will give you peace. They'll bring delight to your soul. You'll get to sleep at night. Now, the tricky thing is that at this point, Proverbs is going to talk about ways of discipline in ancient Israel that we're maybe going to find a little bit unreasonable today, like a whack with a ruler on the rear end, which was a tradition that unfortunately carried on well into my own generation, if only it had gone out of fashion a few years earlier. Although I'd have to say, on those days that my mum said to me, "You wait till your father comes home," and I'd be waiting in trepidation, and Dad would come home and he'd get the briefing from Mum in the kitchen and then go out the back to the crepe myrtle tree in the backyard and pick out a nice flexible little switch, she used to call it, that would sting the back of the legs for a good 20 minutes or so. But you know, I'd have to say at least that when my dad did that, he'd never enjoy it. In fact, sometimes even with tears in his eyes, which I reckon might have come in some sense from the wisdom of Proverbs. In the once famous words of Proverbs 13, verse 24, "He who spares the rod, spares the switch, hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him." Often paraphrased as, "He who spares the rod spoils the child." "Son," he'd say, "I'm doing this for you, not for me." And at the time, I actually believed that. discipline with care and with love, which is a connection we, of course, find it so hard to make in an age with so many stories of physical and mental and sexual abuse. Proverbs was, genuinely speaking, of a form of discipline that's an act of love, that comes from a deep concern for the future good of the child. And so according to the wisdom of Proverbs, lack of discipline is far less loving than no discipline at all. Now, if you're a parent of young kids here, or of teens, or maybe a grandparent looking to give wise advice, which of course is almost never welcome, I'm not for a minute saying bring back the rod. But here is the underlying wisdom. Discipline is all about creating the right disincentive for unwise behaviour, about creating some kind of negative immediate consequences that are far less harmful than the potential future damage of attitudes and behaviours that are left unchecked and unchallenged. So, one bit of advice that Lou and I had early on as parents was that you needed to be really smart about setting consequences that were connected to the crime. Like, if you can't play well with your little sister now, how can you possibly play well with the other kids at soccer on Saturday afternoon? So you'll stay home if you don't stop. And then, of course, carrying through with the consequence, which is the hard bit. The point is, finding a form of discipline that works is actually an act of love for your kids, of forming them towards what is good and away from what's not, in a way that doesn't come naturally for any kid. Wise discipline takes love and it takes care. In the words of the ancient proverb, he who loves his son is careful to discipline him, she who loves her daughter is careful to discipline her. And so whatever shape discipline takes in your house, make sure that it is there and it is carefully and lovingly applied. Because Proverbs says undisciplined kids are a disaster waiting to happen. They are a powder keg. And our culture seems to say the opposite. Proverbs says discipline means training your children in wisdom so they'll know early on what's good and right and fair. Our culture seems to avoid any kind of discipline at all. And you just have to look around to know that that can lead to all kinds of disappointments. But of course, this kind of discipling, this kind of discipline, it is time-consuming and it's relationally demanding. It takes real presence. Proverbs says, train up a child in the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not depart from it. To which again you might say, well, but who am I to do that, to set a path before my child? Surely they've got to decide for themselves. And there is a form of parenting that, to my mind, overdoes that, to the point where, you know, they try to micromanage every decision and set out their career path and tell them who to marry. But this is not that. This is saying you are the parent. They're not. And in terms of these proverbs of ancient Israel, there is a faith to be passed on. A faith in the God of Israel who made and ordered the heavens and the earth, who saved his people. And as Christian families, those of us here who are believers, there is a sense in which we inherit that worldview with a commitment to Jesus Christ at the heart of it, in a way that changes the way we do life. Now, the Apostle Paul talks about that in Ephesians chapter 6, a model that as kids grow to a certain point has a certain expectation of them as well as the parents. A household where instead of warfare, there's a truce built around those two phrases, in the Lord and of the Lord. Children, says Paul, Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and mother. This is the first commandment with the promise. It comes out of Israel's Ten Commandments, that it may go well with you and you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, can you imagine that? Kids actually willingly obeying their parents because of the Lord Jesus. Because you see, kids in God's kingdom have always been taught to honour their dad and mum. Can you imagine this? Dads not stirring up or provoking or frustrating their kids. Actually thinking about how what you're doing as a parent makes your kids feel. That's advice before its time, isn't it? Bring them up with discipline and the kind of teaching that shows them what it means to follow the Lord Jesus. See, there is a glimpse of that in the promises we heard two families making this morning, a glimpse of the way a church can help in that, in the promises we all made this morning. And of course, there are some of us without kids, some of us who have raised kids already, some of us with grandkids, even great-grandkids. Some of us with deep sadness of seeing kids gone off the rails, even the tragic consequences of that. Some of us with regrets about things we wish we'd said or done differently. Some in the way life plays out, who have done everything they possibly could have, and yet things still didn't go too well. A dear friend of ours whose kids are in their 20s and 30s now said to us a while back, with tears in her eyes, "By and large, I look back at our experience of parenting with great disappointment. Even with all the wisdom in the world, of course, sometimes that's the way things go." Which is exactly as we've seen the book of Proverbs says, that these are observations of wise principles that sometimes come unstuck because of the fickle way the broken world is. And yet wisdom is still wise. And so wherever you stand this morning in the world of lived experience, disappointed or otherwise, parenting ahead of you, parenting behind you, or just a spectator, there is still the challenge, the art rather than the science, of doing families as well as we can, of putting our minds to the way we care for the next generation, discipling them to learn what it means to follow Jesus together. Because there's no doubt, is there, that wisdom from God is exactly what we need. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, in this difficult world and with the difficult challenge of raising new generations, we pray for great wisdom and for love and grace that we might raise the next generation well. We ask that as a church family. We ask that for the families here this morning with their children being baptised, that you would help us to be reflective and wise, not abdicate that responsibility of discipling children well, to know and serve the Lord Jesus, to know and serve you, and to live graciously in this world. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.